hubby here with me, too, so you got Gary.
Hey, Gary.
Got both of us, baby.
Oh, it's so good to talk to you. Hi, my friends. I was just talking about the challenges of international travel, of course. I said, but there are exceptions.
Oh, my God. What a pain. What a pain.
Well, oh, Andrea, of course, I think everyone knows you here, but Andrea and Gary used to live here and had a fabulous art gallery in Lahaina years ago, and then they, of course, moved to Sedona, and they are travelers, deluxe travelers that go the first class route. And they just did a trip with their granddaughter, Lexi. She's 14 years old.
12.
Oh, my God, she's big for 12. Okay, she's 12.
12, an old, very old soul.
Oh, yeah, she's gorgeous. So they decided to take their 12-year-old granddaughter, Lexi, who's gorgeous, to Egypt. And I have to say, when I heard you were doing that, I thought, my God, you're courageous souls.
What'd you say?
You're courageous souls.
You know what? I have to tell you, we are not courageous souls. We had a group, too.
We brought six people.
Oh. She was the best traveler. I mean, honestly, better than us. She was phenomenal. She's got it in her blood. She didn't want to go home. And I had her for a week and a half before because my daughter got COVID, even though she's vaccinated, right? So I had her for a week and a half before, and then we had her in Egypt. It was like she went home.
Well, I didn't mean you were courageous to take her. I meant you were courageous to go to Egypt at all at this time with everything.
Well, you know
what? That's what I thought you meant.
Yeah.
I thought you meant we were courageous to take her. No. You know what? We canceled the trip 4 times.
So
we decided we were just going to make the arrangements and do it. We had another group come in right after, and everything was fine. I mean, honest to God, first of all, people wear masks in all the airports. They wear masks in all the hotels. Most places require masks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was.
And the worst part, Cindy, was really the airline.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
That was the worst.
Well, no,
part.
And that is.
Had
that
to
is.
Go through.
Yeah. I mean, you live in Sedona. No, why didn't you walk me through what you had to go through to get from Sedona, Arizona to Egypt?
Well, first of all, we had to do the negative COVID test 72 hours before leaving.
Mm-hmm.
There were no places at all in Sedona that would give us a result within 24 to 48 hours.
Okay.
Everybody was like 48 to 60 hours. So we went to Phoenix and got a test there that was an overnight test.
Uh-huh.
And then we flew British Air, and you had to fill out a form that was impossible almost to fill out. And whenever you thought the answer should be yes, the answer was no on the form. And so if it wasn't for Kathy Taguchi, I mean, one of my people called her and was crying on the phone to her because she could not do the form.
Wow. Wow.
So that was the hardest part. And the easy part was flying. And when we got to Egypt, they met our group at the gate of the airport and took us through customs and bought our visas. And it was easy peasy right after flying into Cairo.
Getting there was the hardest part. Just going through all the red tape. But, you know, there was red tape to get to Hawaii, too.
I didn't know that. I'm surprised at that.
Oh, yeah. A lot of red tape.
Wow.
It was a lot, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was hard for us to even figure it out, I swear to God.
Yeah. Well, it's gotten better now. It's actually
easier.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, now America is opened up, and they're going to have, believe me, there are going to be lines, you know, because people are confused.
Well, I think you were smart to fly when you did for a few reasons. With the November 8th international travel opening up, I have heard the cost of international flights have gone way up, and I've heard also that they're even hard to book if you can find good seats or anything.
I heard that too.
So I think you were actually very smart to go when you did. Do they have a British Airlines out of Phoenix? I never knew they had British Airlines.
Yes, Phoenix, London, Cairo, and the service was outstanding.
Well, I'm impressed. That's good to
know. Yeah, it was nice. However, if you flew on Egypt Air, you did not have to go through all that red tape, literally.
Ah, interesting. So
they made it a lot easier.
So you threw British to East Coast was New York. Would you fly over to New York, or where did you fly?
We flew from Phoenix to to London and from London to Cairo.
Wow. Well, that's not bad. That's not bad.
It was
London.
Wonderful, yeah. Actually. Yeah. I mean, going, it was a night flight. So, yeah. You know, 11 hours, it's not bad if you can sleep.
So one of the things
that... It was wonderful.
I mean, many people I talk to say, and me, I guess, as well, wanting to travel internationally, what's it like for you to have that mask on for that long? Because that was how many hours? At least had to be 15 hours, at least, right?
It was a long time.
15 hours.
No, it was 20. It was, oh, I mean...
No, 15 hours, sorry.
But we were in the airport for 3 hours.
Oh, yeah.
We were in the airport.
Yeah.
You know what? We had travel masks.
Uh-huh.
And honestly, they were fine.
Everybody bought special masks online.
I bought these special masks online, and, you know, they were supposed to block out almost everything you can block out.
Tell us.
And it was pretty easy. It really was.
It wasn't bad for whatever reason. You know, you take it off to eat or whatever.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. And my granddaughter, God bless her, I mean, she's used to these masks.
Yeah.
She's used to them. She doesn't even complain.
So please tell us, because this is a travel show. What is this travel mask? I want to tell people about it, and I want to get it.
I'm trying to remember the name.
Andrea saw it online, and they measure your face, and it's supposed to be a different material on the inside of the mask.
It's made in Israel.
That makes it easier to breathe over long terms of time.
And you don't have to wash it every time.
Wow, I like that. I like that. So
yeah,
I
don't have it right now, but I don't remember the name. But however, you know, when you look up travel mask, it comes up, and it was one of the better ones.
Well, good. No, that's important.
Yeah, so,
important to know. Now, how did you negotiate? This is the hard part for people now, figuring out how you negotiate getting the test when you are over there, coming out from Egypt, coming
home.
They
took care of us. Our travel company just brought them right. They brought them to our hotel room.
Wow.
Yeah, they brought them to each person's hotel room, all nine of us, and they gave us a test, and they sent the results to the airlines directly.
Oh, amazing.
It was an up-your-nose test. It was an up-your-nose test. However, they came in your room and did it. It was really lovely.
Oh, my God, that is great. Because that concerns
really
a lot of people.
It really was. They made it easy, honey.
Yeah.
They made it easy.
Now, let's talk about your fabulous taste in wonderful hotels and what the hotels were like that you went to.
No?
Okay.
Well, the first hotel we stayed is at the Mena House, which is right at the base of the pyramids. And they're redoing the old palace part of it. So they just have the newer part open, and it faces the pyramids. It's gorgeous. They have, you know, a ginormous pool. The pool reflects the pyramid. It's impeccable. It's a 4-star hotel. Beautiful.
No, it's a 5-star hotel.
No, is that's
the
same?
Is the best to me.
That's the same one they've always had, right? That's the same one. They haven't
yeah.
added.
That's the
yeah.
same one, yeah. And it was built in 1890, I think.
But now they're redoing the old part, the palace, and it's going to be. It's run by the Marriott, but one's going to be a Marriott.
The George W. Marriott.
Right. Oh. Yeah, just the Marriott.
Yeah. Well, I saw the pictures, and if people want to see, go to Andrea Smith's Facebook. You were fantastic posting pictures, my friend.
She is the best, isn't she?
No, but you know what? I've been so many times. Now I know what I want to take a picture of, right?
Yeah.
I also know the names of the temples. It's taken me about 23 times to really know where I even am.
It was
like
this
time I said, I have to know for Lexi. Yeah. I have to know where I am so I can, you know, tell her.
Oh, but you took beautiful photographs. I saw the pictures
Thank
from the mail. And I just, I felt like a voyeur traveling with you by following your photographs on Facebook. And it was lovely seeing Lexi's excitement. You could feel that it was contagious. But now let's talk, what happened with the museum? I didn't see you posted. Is the museum open?
No.
Okay.
No. About 2 million square feet of it is still closed.
No.
They still haven't finished it.
Oh, no. That was supposed to be years ago.
Can you believe it?
Oh, my. Well, yeah.
I know.
On Maui.
However,
so.
We did go to a new museum. Museum of, I think.
Civilization.
And I don't know if you've ever been to Luxor Museum. It's not a large museum.
Yeah.
It's just like two floors, and they're not big floors. And one of the floors has, like, all the mummies, which are...
From the
mummy parade that they just did in Egypt. And the top floor is just... It's, like, every period, but you don't have to look at, like, 30 sarcophaguses, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You look at a couple, and you get the idea of, you know, the thickness of them and whatever. And they just covered each period. It was... I thought... I'm not big on museums. I get, like, you know, a little overwhelmed. And this one was perfect. It was really nice. Lexi loved it. It was reasonable. You know, it wasn't tiring. It was just beautiful.
Well, I have to say, Luxor is my favorite city. There's something magical about Luxor, and I've always loved it. It looked like they've done some improvements on some
of the
statues.
You know, they've done a ton of improvements. Not only that, from the Temple of Luxor to the Temple of Karnak, there are all these sphinxes. And they just, I believe they were going to, I don't know if they did it, the Avenue of the Sphinxes goes all this 2 miles, you know, from temple to temple.
I saw that.
Were going to open it and have this big parade with the president and all these dignitaries. Oh. I mean, it's really beautiful. It's so beautiful. And these sphinxes were under people's houses.
Wow.
You know, people just built over them. They, you know, and then they realized that they went all the way, right? So they started to reclaim them. That, and they reclaimed them.
Can you imagine the feeling of knowing that those sphinxes formed a whole line? I mean, I've walked by the sphinxes.
2 miles.
I mean, that's mind-blowing. That's mind-blowing.
I know. You know, the other interesting thing is, I mean, I've known this, but honestly, it really hit home this time. 80% of Egypt is buried. 80% still buried.
I didn't know that.
So it's like, and I've been told so clearly, and one part we went to at Abydos, next to the temple, there's a part that you can see that's, you know, been dug out, and that's supposed to be 18,000 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
And when we first started going, there was the bottom of this place was covered with green water. Now the green water is gone, and there are like these three pools, you know, very perfectly shaped rectangular pools. These angles are like perfect. The stones are the size of rooms. I mean, they're just amazing. Mm. Amazing. It's mind-boggling.
So you were
very difficult to wrap your mind around it. It really is. And now they're cleaning the temples. So the colors, those pictures I posted, those are like the original colors.
Yeah, the blues. I love the, you know, you can see that beauty. They always had that fantastic lapis blue that I loved, and I think of with Egypt.
And so, obviously, it's pretty strong.
Yeah.
It's lasted thousands of years, and it had all kinds of schmutz on it because they lived at the top of these temples, you know, when they were covered in sand.
Yeah.
They lived, like, in the top part of them, so they were right at the ceiling. And so they'd burn, you know, stuff in there to stay warm and whatever. And so the ceilings all turned black.
So let's go back. You were in Cairo how many days?
About 3 days.
And then you
Four
went,
days.
Then you went to
Four
the
days.
Nile, to the cruise down the Nile, is that point next?
Yes. Then we flew.
Eight nights.
We flew to Aswan.
Aswan,
and we met the boat, got on the boat, and then we cruised down the Nile. And we went to the temples along the Nile. It was so beautiful.
Yeah.
There was a lot of nice downtime of just cruising, and everything we do is private. The majority of the things, some things we can't, but we find a way to do them pretty privately, everything.
So
it was just, it was beautiful.
Was it the same beautiful little yacht that you always take, that you take?
Yes,
them?
Yeah, yes, yeah, yeah.
It's called a Dahabnia, and it's a 180-foot yacht, and the name of it is Apandina.
Amazing. I'm saying all these details because I know we're all kicking ourselves that we could not be there with Andrea and Gary, but there will be another opportunity to get on board and take this trip coming up when?
4 weeks. We reserved the Apandina for 4 weeks, September 20th through October 15th. So we're going to have two journeys going, and at the end of the second journey, there'll be a 5-day option to Israel.
Wow. Okay, so I'm confused. I thought there was one in April, but that was this one, I guess.
No, April... We switched everybody to October 2022.
Oh, okay. So now it's September and October?
Yeah, the last 2 weeks in September and the one trip, and then the next one is the first 2 weeks in October, plus an additional 5 days in Israel.
Because I've got to start saving my money. You know, these are once-in-a-lifetime trips, and everyone should realize that when you travel with Gary and Andrea, it's not like traveling with anyone else in the world. They have unbelievable knowledge, artistic taste that will really inspire you, and first-class taste.
And we have so many people that have gone more than one time.
I saw the flowers. At the hotel, I saw this amazing bouquet.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe those?
our business partners in Egypt are like our family, really.
I mean, well, honestly, I've known them since they were born.
The CEO is 26 years old.
I've known him since he was born.
Oh, my
They're gosh. Like, I mean, literally, we're like their mommy and daddy. So, I mean, I just love them. They're precious.
Yeah,
they're just precious.
You couldn't do a better trip than traveling with Andrea.
You know, Lexi did not want to come home.
Oh, I believe
it. You know, what about your mother? So, well, she can come here. I said, Lexi, you can't stay in Egypt. She said, but I love it, Grammy. I said, I know. I said, you can come next year. So she's going to go next year, too.
So here's what our 12-year-old granddaughter said to us. The last two nights we spent at the Four Seasons on the Nile in Cairo, and she said, Papa, I could live here and just order room service.
I said, so could I.
The Four Seasons is probably one of the nicest hotels in Cairo.
Yeah, no, that, I mean, I hate to say you might be spoiling her, but I think, you know, it's hard to
go. Oh, we definitely are. We definitely are.
You know, I watched her blossom, Cindy. I completely watched her open and blossom, and she was such a, she had flip-flops on when we landed in London, and they broke.
Oh.
And so she's barefoot, and we had 3 hours in the airport.
Oh, my God.
We have to find you. She said, no, I'm good, Grammy. I'm good. I said, you're not good. I don't want you walking around like this. No, I'm good. I'm just fine. I said, let's see. And so finally we found some socks, and we found her flip-flops. But she was like, so flow with it.
Uh-huh. I could tell. And to have those kind of life-changing, was it Auntie Mame? What was that Broadway show? Wasn't it Auntie Mame they made into a movie?
Yeah,
that's you. but no, you know, it is. I mean, how wonderful to be able to have that experience. And okay, let's go now. We've hit Luxor. You went to some other places that were, I had not seen before. I've heard you talk about before that are very kind of off the usual beaten path.
Abydos.
Dendera and Abydos are a 3-hour ride through the desert where you get an escort with the federal police.
Really?
But everybody does that. I mean, it's just for security. And we've been going there a couple of times, but that is way out of the way. Very few people ever go
because
there.
Because that's where that stealth bomber, all the things that they were using in the Gulf War.
Yeah.
That's where those hieroglyphics of those things in particular.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and the first time I saw this, I don't know, 1994, I could not wrap my mind around it. Honest to God, it didn't even make sense to me. It really didn't. How could they even do that, right? And now as I've gone back and I see how old the temple next to it is, and even in this temple, there's like a pillar. You look down, you see the top of a pillar, and it's just a temple built on a temple.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I would like a giant sand blower is what I would like.
Yeah.
However, I've been told that, you know, when we're ready to accept it, it'll be revealed. And I do believe that.
Yeah,
we're a lot older than we think we are.
Yeah, and when you say that 80% of Egypt is still undiscovered.
Can you believe that?
Well, yeah, and when you think that there was and still is, I guess, a lot of work being found under the pyramids, that whole network. Underground that connected all the way to the ocean, I believe, that at one time it was all connected. I mean,
There's still water there. You know, in the Great Pyramid, the first time we were there, we went into the pit. You know, as high up as that pyramid goes, that's how low down it goes. And we went down to that pit, and there's water down there.
Unbelievable.
It's so many miles from the Nile right now. However, the Nile used to come right up to the Sphinx.
Uh-huh.
There's a docking area right there. The water used to come all the way up there. They had water from the Nile at the pyramids.
Well, that explains
underneath.
A lot. Yeah, definitely. That's amazing.
I know.
Here's the theory that we heard when we went in the Great Pyramid this time. The pit is 400 feet below the surface of the pyramid, and it has a water flow.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pyramid was built like in three separate chambers, and the water, the movement of the current, like a windmill or a dam, created a charge. And as the charge went up through the pyramid, it gained more and more electrical current.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a theory that sounds very logical to me, because the Egyptians invented the battery.
Yeah, there's places where they show the electrical battery. Because honestly, there's no way they could have painted or decorated these temples, the floor to the ceiling. I mean, the ceilings are completely decorated. The walls, not mm-hmm. 1 inch is left undecorated without light.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they're open to the air. They have ceilings.
Yeah. Yeah, they had electric
light, and they show it in one of these crypts. It's like a big eggplant. It's very fascinating.
Well, you know, and you think of how they were able to channel the energies, you know. I mean, when you look at what they were able to do, I mean, it's still being on, you know, we're still catching up with what really happened. And then, you know, people are going to have to try to prove it, and that takes forever. But, I mean, how do you prove what you don't know, you know? So it's like there's something.
The way it was proved to me was by being in the Great Pyramid and experiencing it.
Yeah.
Experiencing the energy of it. And it is still alive and well. And it's a machine. It's mm-hmm. a total machine is what it is.
Interesting.
You know, we don't understand it anymore, but it's a machine in parts that have been removed, and the casing isn't there anymore. However, you know, it's built out of granite and limestone. I mean, it's very, they did it in a very, very specific way. And there are chambers in there that are completely, it's amazing, actually.
Now, I have to ask you, Andrea, because, you know, I know your artwork, and I love your artwork. And everyone should look at your artwork at your website, because, I mean, it is actually just, it's uplifting just to look at the beautiful paintings if people go to your website and check out the artwork. And the best website to go to is?
AndreaSmithGallery.com.
And take some time when you go there and look at the Egyptian influence throughout all of your work. I've seen so much power, and there's so many beautiful pieces of art that you have that are, of course, influenced by Egypt. And I know you had
Before I went to Egypt, way before I went to Egypt, I used to put those headdresses on people.
Yeah.
This is lifetimes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. You were there, and I know you feel at home there, you know, and that's why it's for you, it's like another homecoming, a coming home of sorts, you know.
Yeah, I feel like I've gone home. I love it.
Oh, yeah, and I understand that. I mean, I miss it, and I felt that way as well when I was there. You know, it's something clicks. It's almost like a lock that clicks into place or a lock that unlocks when you
go. Exactly.
You're right about that.
Yeah, I mean, and that, when you know that, you go, wow. And I have to ask you, you know, we have about 8 minutes left, but I want to ask you, because I know Gary so well. And Gary has exquisite taste, which you can see at the Tlacopaque Gallery and also online at the website. But what did you do for shopping, Gary?
Oh, my God. You know, I made the cardinal sin, and I tell this to everybody now. I can't believe I suffered again. When you go to these temples or other areas and you see something you like, and you're in a hurry to get to the temple, and you tell 1 to 15 different merchants, they say, will you see me when you come out? Will you see me when you come back?
Yeah.
And I say, sure, I'll see you when I come back. And every time when I came back, they recognized me. They wouldn't let me go. They said, oh, mister, you said you would see us when you came back. You're back. So a word of advice. Go and enjoy yourself, and if you want to get something, buy it on the way out, but don't tell anybody you're going to see them when you come back.
Good advice. I've done that same thing, actually, yes, but not to the extent you do.
I really bought some very unique things, and I didn't think I was going to buy a lot, but one thing I did get was a divinity rod that the ancient priests used to use for higher energy and made out of copper. And I got a lot of jewelry, and I bought a mummy that I loved, and I bought a statue of Ptah that was very expensive from Valley of the Kings, made out of alabaster. I'd say one place I bought like at least 25 pieces of Bedouin jewelry that was 100 to 200 years old, all different beads and stuff. And I kind of bought what I like, and every now and then I bought things that I didn't think I would like as much, but somebody else might like more.
Uh-huh. You know, there's only so much jewelry you can wear, and I know Andrea's got amazing jewelry. So you can see and get that jewelry in Tlacopaque Gallery. But these are museum-style pieces, you know. These are things that are, I mean, I don't even know how would you put a price on that rod. I mean, that's something I'd even have us hesitate to sell it because there's so much power in it, right?
Right. Well, you know, it's fun to buy them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would love to keep them, but it's more fun to sell them and share them.
I mean, when you turn people on to these things, Cindy, I mean, it's pretty amazing. I can't believe, you know, people see these things and just light up like it's something miraculous for them to view. So,
yeah.
And in our viewing room, I have two pieces that are like 3,000 or 4,000 years old.
Wow.
That people are just amazed to see in a gallery or anywhere. I'm amazed to see it myself.
No, they're museum pieces, basically. And you know what the lines are like for anything with the Egyptian art and museums. And with the Egyptian Museum opening up, they pulled back a lot of pieces that were going to be going on display so that you'd have to see it at the museum there in Egypt.
Definitely.
That museum's going to be gorgeous.
I mean, when it opens, it'll be one of the large world attractions.
Oh, yeah. Now, speaking of that, were you seeing visitors there? How was it? Were there people, travelers?
It was
there?
Packed.
Really?
Packed.
We were lucky. We were on the boat, the small boat, and we would dock on the opposite side of the Nile where we didn't run into any traffic whatsoever, but it was...
Yeah, we're on the side of the Nile where it's like no buildings and quiet and just like grass and like in Luxor, and then across the Nile are all those boats, like, lined up one after the other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but, like, when we went to Karnak, that's when I really saw... Luxor, actually, Temple of Luxor, when they had that Isle of the Sphinxes. They hadn't opened yet, but, I mean, that I've never, ever seen more people in that temple, to be honest.
And
that was at night.
And these people haven't worked, like, in 18 months, the guides and things. And
they're so excited.
So they were very excited. And I told all the people in our group, they were 12 to 89 years old, and I said, you know, you've paid for all your gratuities, but when someone does something for you or someone on the boat that you like more than anything else, it's okay to give them a few dollars because a few dollars to these guys are a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I always tell people it's nice to give a couple extra dollars and be generous.
I totally agree. You know, I've about 3 minutes left here. The hotels, I mean, everything's changed a lot. Did you see differences in the way the service or how they handle things now with the COVID restrictions in hotels?
No. Service was exactly the same, and they didn't cut their room service menu did like all the hotels in
Sedona. What they did was, in like the buffets, were a little different.
Mm-hmm.
The buffet, not the buffet at the Mena House. The buffet at the Mena House was the same as it's always been. However, the one at the Four Seasons, a lot of it was behind glass, and they served you things. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the only difference, really. It wasn't any less. It was just set up a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
The tables were further apart in the dining room.
Oh, yes, definitely.
You know, they had you had to wear masks as soon as you came into the hotel.
Right.
But the hotels were full service.
Yeah, good. There was nothing. I didn't notice anything different like that.
That's good news. Are you coming?
I didn't notice anything different, to be honest, other than nothing, really. It was all the same, other than the travel part, the airports and the mask.
Yeah.
You know?
Are you planning are you going
to
try to come to Maui for the holidays?
We're going to come to Maui in March.
Oh, in March.
Beginning
of
March.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Well, gosh, you know, what, in a sentence or two, what was the inspiration you brought back from this trip?
You know, honestly, the best thing I brought back from this trip was what a fabulous traveler my granddaughter is.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this is like a dream come true, to be able to share this with Lexi and see it through her eyes, right? To see her fall in love with Egypt was like, honestly, that was the best part. That was like fulfilling such a huge dream for me. So I love that. And I love that she wants to go back next year. So I'm just excited to share it with her.
You know,
I love Egypt. And I love watching it. I love watching it be revealed, right? Every time I go back, there's something new. So that's kind of what I love, too.
You know, isn't that amazing after how many trips? I mean, that still you can go back and new things are revealed. That is...
Because it's always different. It's new. They're just finding stuff.
Yeah, no, that is an amazing thing. Yeah.
Isn't it amazing?
It is.
I mean, it really is.
Yeah, I mean, because you could go to many countries and you'd see the same things. You go to even Venice or Florence, or you go to,
well, we're not,
you know,
doing too many
Paris,
digs here, are we? Are we doing too many digs in America?
No.
Not really.
No. Yeah.
I mean, they have 200 excavations going on right now.
That is amazing. You know, I am so glad. It's, you know, we don't get a chance to talk enough, but I'm so glad you took the time, both of you, to call in and share this amazing adventure that you were able to take. Because
it's our joy to share Egypt. You know, so many people, there's like a stigma for whatever reason. However, I understand it because I had it the first time I went. So I really get it. There's some fear involved. However, you know, once you're there, Lexi said to me, Grammy, I'm so surprised. I said, what? It isn't what I thought it was going to be. And she said, they're so nice. I said, I laughed. I said, I told you. Yeah, but they're so nice. I said, I know. They're loving people.
So
that's the part.
If people want to take that trip next September, October, who would they reach out to?
They would call us at the gallery, Andrea Smith Gallery in Sedona.
In Tlacopaki.
In Tlacopaki. Can I give a phone number?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 928-203-9002.
Have a happy Thanksgiving, my friends, and bless you.
Thank
both.
You, Cindy.
I love you. I love
gobble,
you.
Gobble.
I love you.
Gobble,
gobble. Aloha.
Aloha.